shut up and sit down. We are gonna go over Broad as he was in Houston. By God, Texas M. Well, before we do, big news we need to discuss. New additions to the Hall of Fame have been introduced since last week. Now, did bring up last week on how mind savior Paul Heyman is going into the Hall of Fame, very much so, wellfully deserved. But they also now announced Bull Nakano, who, if you do not know who she is, and I am saying this in the most respectful way possible, because I cannot do justice in describing her career. Short from legendary. Educate yourself. And I mean that in the most respectful way possible. No lie. Educate yourself. Look her up. Legendary Japanese women's wrestler. She had an incredible feud with Medusa, Lundra Blaze in the 90s in the WWF. Just really great to hear. Also, Wyndham and Rotunda, the US Express, are going into the Hall of Fame as well. Also, as of today, the day of this recording, a new addition to the Hall of Fame has been announced. And if you, like me, listen to the Bruce Pritchard Show, oh baby, you know, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, is the second most recognizable athlete in the entire world, second only to Muhammad Ali. Well, baby, Dusty Rhodes is now the second most recognizable Hall of Famer in the world, second only to Muhammad Ali. Because as of today, Muhammad Ali, hands down, one of, if not the greatest boxers of all time, is going into the WWE Hall of Fame. And I know a lot of people were putting out there like, oh, why are they putting him in? Oh, they're running out of people. Blah, 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 blah. Dude, y'all gotta understand. Muhammad Ali was the original sports entertainer. He was doing sports entertainment before sports entertainment was a thing. You know, it boggles the mind how some people don't quite grasp that. Not only that, he was there at WrestleMania 1. He was, you know, he's... Ali, without a shadow of a doubt, the character, the charisma, if you didn't see that, I don't think you would have had other guys get inspired to go and do half the stuff they do in wrestling. You know, just, yeah, that's all I got to say. So, honest to goodness, I am really stoked and really happy for this class. Because this is a class I did not expect to see. And, you know, and hell, I never even thought they would ever I figured Wyndham and Rotunda would probably get like posthumous introductions. Or posthumous, whatever the saying is. The ones when they get honored in after they pass away. I thought they'd get that. I never thought they'd actually get to go in and actually live to tell the tale. But, man, it warms my heart to see the US Express going in. It warms my heart to see Bull Nakano going in. I am over the moon ecstatic for Muhammad Ali. And I cannot express enough how happy I am to see Paul Heyman going in. Not just into the Hall of Fame, but in the Hall of Fame in Philadelphia. Oh, God. This is why I love WrestleMania season, because it brings out so much fun and joy comes out during this time of year for me. So, now that I'm done going over and gushing over that, let's switch gears and talk about last week via the SmackDown Rewind. And the big highlights from last week's SmackDown. It started out with the walking douche nozzle Logan Paul coming out, gloating on how he's the US champ since he's been there, WWE's been in their prime, this, that, and the other, blah, 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 blah. And then made an official announcement saying that Prime Drink is now going to be an official sponsor for all PLEs going forward, and their logo is going to be on the mat canvas, which was met with cheers and jeers, and I can understand respectfully why. Because, I mean, growing up, WCW, saw Snickers, saw Slim Jim, saw those on the ring, on the mat canvas. In AEW today, you'd see DraftKings, you see logos like DraftKings and all on there. In UFC, you see Monster, you see Prime, you see Modelo, you see all that kind of shit. I get it. And I know some people want to think, well, why don't do WWE? And some people say, well, what makes WWE so special? Why wouldn't I? Because for the longest time, VKM had it planted in our brains, subconsciously, nothing should go on the mat because the mat was sacred. And not in a Gunther Imperium kind of way, I mean. And I'm not saying that insultively. But what I mean is that it's sacred that nothing should be on it except the guy's blood, sweat, and tears. That's what I mean. That's the kind of subconscious plant... trying to get my words right, I'm sorry. That's the kind of subconscious planting that was put in there for the longest time. And honestly, I'm good either way. I mean, I grew up watching WCW, so I saw that. I watch AEW, so I'm used to it. Hell, I grew up watching... My dad was a big boxing guy when I was a kid. So I grew up watching boxing a lot. So I would see the Budweiser logos in all four corners all the time. So, whether the logo's there or not, I'm good either way. I understand, though. It's business. Logan Paul is paying to sponsor the show, and in return, he's getting a kickback having his logo plastered in the middle of the ring to entice people to say, hey, why don't I try that stuff? It's business, folks. Because, heaven forbid, you put business in... heaven forbid, you actually focus on the business aspect of the wrestling business. So, either way, Logan Paul then had his friend KSI come out. They're enjoying the moment, relishing in the fact that, you know, their logo is going to be in the middle of the ring from going forward. And then Randy Orton comes out of nowhere, pops an RKO on KSI, and Logan Paul gets the hell out of Dodge. Randy then picks up the bottle of Prime that KSI had, unscrews it. Hey, this stuff don't taste that bad. It's pretty good. Then proceeds to dump it all over KSI's crotch, making it look like he pissed himself. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I've done that trick to plenty of people I knew that passed out, that got knocked out in my days. Whether it was being knocked out or passed out from one too many cocktails. But that's a story for another time. So, yeah, after that, then we proceeded to have a match. It was Randy Orton and Kevin Owens going against Grayson Waller and Austin Theory. Decent enough tag match. Randy and Kevin, they got the win. Honestly, though, I really do see it going as Randy versus Logan at WrestleMania for the U.S. title. I see it going that way. I do not, as much as I'd love to see Kevin Owens in the mix, I don't see him being added. And if he is, I see him being a plus one. And in a very awkward way. Unfortunately. Bobby Lashley had a match against Karrion Kross, which was really damn good. I liked it. It ended in a DQ when AOP came in. They started beating up Lashley, which then proceeded to be a 3-on-1 beatdown. Then the Profits came in. Then it led to a 3-on-3. Then Scarlett started to jump in, which then led to B-Fab coming in. So my guess is, if not within the coming weeks, then at Mania, definitely, we're going to have either a six-man or a four-person mixed tag. Yeah. Tiffany Stratton had a match against Mia Yim. Tiffy got the win. And, yep, can't argue on that. Angel Garza had a match against Dragon Lee. Dragon Lee got the win, but it did not end. But yeah, it was just Dragon out there. And so, honestly, the guys this past Sunday, they were doing the main event mixer. They put Kyle, part of the OTM crew, for the main event network. He said it best. Honestly, I do see Dragon Lee being the future of WWE Lucha Libre. I see that, definitely. So, I'm hoping that this builds Dragon Lee up to be kind of like, I want to say this the right way. Almost, not like in a mirror image of a Rey Mysterio build, but in a Rey Mysterio kind of aspect where he's the scrappy underdog having to fight up, kind of bit. And then we finally got the end segment, which was Rock and Roman coming out looking to get an answer from Cody and Seth in regards to, are they going to accept the tag match? Rock came out. He had lightning come down on him for his intro, which my first thought was, man, if Rock was coming out during that time when Black Adam was out in theaters, that would have been so freaking cool. But yeah. Rock came out with that, and then they proceeded to go, Rock being Rock, trash talking, bad mouth in Texas, then called out Cody and Seth. They came out through the crowd, emphasized again the stipulations for the match. If Cody and Seth win, no bloodline will be banned from the match. But when Rock and Roman win, then Cody and Roman have to fight under bloodline rules, which means anything goes. Then they proceeded to go take a few cheap shots back and forth with each other. Cody then says, you know what? Yeah, I did give you that shot, but then I saw on how you were going to go and use it. I didn't like that. I wanted to take... So, yeah, I took it back. We're going to do... And then Seth getting all up and hot over Rock saying, old-timer, you're past your prime, this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. Roman looking at him like, you're going to let this cross-dresser do all your talking for you? Man, you going to take our match or not? Cody then basically just looking and saying, yeah, it's on. And then it ending with Rock looking at Cody. So, your brother, you got an older brother, referencing Dustin, Goldust. You have an older sister who used to cheer for the Dallas Cowboys, right?
Yeah.
And there's a 10-year gap between you guys, right?
Yeah.
You know what that tells the Rock? That tells the Rock, you were a mistake. And then it was just,
he went there.
And then Cody just looking like, this motherfucker. He had that look like he wanted to mutter it, but he didn't. And then just, whack, slapped the taste right out of the Rock's mouth, which, giving him a receipt from that press conference slap. So, yeah, that set the tone. So, tone's been set, match has been made official. I am so looking forward to this year's WrestleMania. And I am so super stoked for this one. It's not even funny. So, with that said, now let's get into this week's show. Raw in Houston. It starts out with DM Hunk himself, Drew McIntyre, coming out. Looking like he only can, wearing a kilt and a leather jacket, all oiled up, muscled, and ready to looking like he's ready to go and whoop someone's ass. And then starts talking about on how, Seth, you're a damn fool. I told you, keep out of the bloodline business, man. I told you to stay out of it. But you're a junkie, you have to go for that fix. And for those that are just listening, that slap was trying to find the vein. You have to go and try and find that fix, man. You have to step in. You have to do that. No. And you see, I don't want the bloodline to interfere. I want you at your best. So that way, when I beat you, not if, but when I beat you at WrestleMania, I take that title off of you like a man. Which then proceeds to have Seth come out. And then go and search trash and Drew. No, hold on. You want to say you don't want the bloodline to interfere. But last I checked, they've run interference for you for the past couple matches. So, what's up? You looking to join the bloodline? Which my first thought then was, Drew Uso? Drew Mackin Uso? Uso McIntyre? Somebody let me know, either in the comments section on YouTube or on my Twitter at Tim Vicious. One or the other. But, yeah, then Seth just provoking him, taunting him, kind of like that, like the little brother that knows his older brother wants to go and beat him up, but he knows he can't touch him. Like, not in a I'm not touching you kind of way, but like, come on, you got that much of a problem with me? Do it. Hit me right now. Let's do it. Oh, here. Let me turn around. That way you see my back. That way it's an easier target for you. Come on. Blindside me, I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker. Doing that kind of stuff. And the whole time, Drew, you know, I see what you're doing. It's not going to work, though. And then proceeds to walk off. And then Seth ends it with, you know, Drew, you're right. I've had a lot on my plate. Between title, bloodline, dealing with everything else, my knee, my back, my blowing out my knee. I've had a lot on my plate. But I'll tell you, the one thing I have not had to worry about, no matter what, doesn't matter, was Drew McIntyre. At no point in time were you ever a thought that I had to worry about you. Like, taunting him like, you ain't worth the time of day to think. And Drew just looking like, I want to bash your freaking head in, but I'm not gonna. I'm gonna save that for when I get you. That way, when I legally can, I'm gonna make it hurt even more. So, yeah. I liked it. It helped build up for the match for them two coming up. And honestly, until WrestleMania, personally, I think it'd probably be better to have Seth not compete. Just let him rest and not run the risk of doing something that could injure himself again between now and then. So, with that said, now let's get into the first match of the night. The man herself, Becky Lynch, going against Liv Morgan. Nice, good, solid start with a lot of back and forth action. I dug it. I thought it was a good opening match. Becky wound up getting the win, doing the manhandle slam. Afterwards, Rhea Ripley came out with the go and cut a promo on Becky. Basically, to help build up for the match at WrestleMania, but to paraphrase it and to put it in a simple, Rhea, she was basically saying that I'm what everyone wants. I'm what everyone's talking about. And Becky's saying, you know what? They may be talking about you, and you're good. And when I'm good, I do good. But when I got my back up against the wall and everyone's against me, that's when I do great. And then just leaving it like that. So like, ooh. And I'm really looking forward to this match. Next up we got, well, yeah, technically you could say it was a match. We had Maxine Dupri teaming with Ivy Nile going against Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. Short little bit with Candice and, or with Indy and Ivy in there first. Then Maxine came in. The crowd was silent, like quiet enough you could hear a mouse pee on a wad of cotton. Kind of quiet. And then when Maxine went to go do her reverse worm, she went to go turn around. Next thing you know, saw Candice was in her face and then started yelling at her like an angry mom. What are you doing? You're doing this stuff? You want to choose to do this stuff in this right here, right now? You wonder why people boo you? This is why people boo you. This is why people don't like you. You think the fans are this mean to you? You think the fans are mean to you? You should hear what the girls are saying about you behind your back in the locker room. And she's just chastising her, ripping her down. Like, for Candice being so short, she grew like 12 feet coming down on her. And the whole time you just see Maxine like, all sad and like choking up, holding back tears. And to the point she's like, I can't do this. And goes to walk away to like get out of the ring. And as she's walking, next thing you know, Indy, wham, slams her with a running boot. And then Candice just yells at Indy, pin her. And then, and then Ivy took a boot to the face so she couldn't interfere to break the pin up. And then Candice and Indy got the win. So, yeah. Candice, it looks like Candice is going back to her poison pixie ways. I'm cool with that. Next up, needed the heart pills for this one. Asuka and Kairi Sane going against Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark. And, nice, good, fast-paced start. Shayna and Zoe, they were leading into the commercial break. After the break, had some nice, really good, solid action. This tag match was really different because normally when you hear me talking about tag matches, you'll hear me talk about on how this one was the punching bag, this one got the hot tag. Nah, this one did not have an end of that. You just had solid action going back and forth. There was no punching bags, no hot tags, no nothing. It was a good, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing that, you know, when you get those kind of matches, that's just your atypical tag team formula. Atypical formula for a tag match. You know, but I like when you change it up every now and then like this. Match came to an end. Shayna had Kairi Sane in the Karabuta Clutch, looking like she was about ready to go and pass out. And as she's starting, and as Shayna's got it locked in on her, Dakota Kai, who is ringside along with Io, she grabs Shayna's legs, start tugging and pulling on it to distract her. Shayna lets go, starts yelling at Kai, and she's just like, I didn't do nothing, I'm innocent. Comes back around, next thing you know, Kairi, wham, pops her with a flying forearm right to the face, knocks her down, then tags in Asuka, who sets her up to do that reverse DDT elbow from Kairi Sane. They do that. They get the 1-2-3. So you're winners and still WWE Women's Tag Team Champions, Asuka and Kairi Sane. Next up, we got R-Truth versus Damian Priest. And this came to be because earlier in the show, Damian Priest and Nick Aldis announced that at WrestleMania, there will be a six-pack ladder match challenge for the tag team titles. It'll be Damian Priest and Finn Balor going against three of SmackDown, against 3 of Raw, 2 of SmackDown. And R-Truth showed up, like, while Aldis and Pierce were talking to Priest and Balor about it. Like, whoa, dude, what's going on? You want to put us in this kind of match? What? And then Priest's like, hey, what's up, guys? Truth, what are you doing here? I thought you were supposed to be doing media stuff with Miz. I am, but that's not until Monday. Truth, it is Monday. Oh. Well, that explains why he ain't here. Well, it's alright. And then Priest just looks at him. No, 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 no. You're here. I got a problem. So we're going to take care of it. Pierce. Make it happen. Okay. Because Truth and Miz pitched the idea for this match, and Priest has had it way past his breaking point with R-Truth. Yeah. So as far as this match went, I gotta tell you, I liked it. Had nice, good action. Priest, he was leading at the start. Truth, he was leading post-commercial break. It was a good match. It was a good middle-of-the-show match. And that is not an insult. Now, at one point, Gargano and Ciampa came out to help run interference against Balor and McDonough, who were ringside as well. Now, Truth wound up. Now, there was a big skirmish between those four outside. Truth then does a big dive to the outside, takes all four out. He gets back in. Next thing you know, Priest grabs him, hits him with the South of Heaven. 1, 2, 3, that's it. Next up, now we come to our main event match of the night. Excuse me. 6-man gauntlet match. The winner of the gauntlet match faces Gunther at WrestleMania for his coveted Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship. To start off the match, it was Ricochet going against JD McDonagh. Really quick pace at the start, going fast. Both guys going all out on it. JD was working on Ricochet's ribs a lot through this match. But Ricochet wound up getting a pin, so JD was out. Next up was Bronson Reed. And Bronson just pancaked Ricochet. Like, for those that know me, know this analogy all too well, but it was like seeing Mike Tyson in his prime going against a 5-year-old. How do you think that would go? Yeah. So Reed, the big thick boy, wound up pancaking Ricochet, all 270 pounds of him. Just, yeah. So Ricochet was out. Sammy came in. Sammy, he was leading at the start. Reed wound up leading the majority of the time with them two. Sammy wound up getting the win, though, but at a cost, because after he won, as Nakamura is walking down, Bronson Reed is all sorts of pissed off over it, starts beating up Sane, and then jumps off the ropes and hits him with a tsunami! Boom! And splatters him the whole time. Nakamura, beautiful heel work, just instead of running down to come and join it, to come in to get into the action. No, he's just steadily strolling, like, do, 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 do. Oh, wait. Let me see this ass whooping going on. I like it. So yeah, Nakamura, he was leading for his time with Sami Zayn. Sami wound up pulling out the surprise miracle win, though. Next up now, we got Chad Gable, which I said last week, honestly, I really think it was going to come down to these guys between Chad Gable and Sami Zayn. And no matter who won, I was going to be sad because the other person lost. So, yeah, it was like that line from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Okay, I'm going to go cry now. Because that's exactly on how it felt seeing Chad Gable coming down, like, there's no way around this. No matter what, the person I want to win is going to win, and the person I want to win is going to lose. This was a hell of a fight between these guys. Both of these guys gave it everything they had. Gable, he just put it all out there, fighting tooth and nail at Sammy. Sammy fighting from the ground up. Sammy And I give credit where credit's due on this with Michael Cole. He brought it up during his time with Bronson Reed. This, during, as of today, the day, as of today of this recording when this match happened, it's Ramadan. Sammy has been fasting. So, all that time, he's exerting all that energy. No food, no nothing, run and throw him. So you get makes you wonder how much he's got in the tank if he can hold out for how long he can hold out. You know? So yeah, that's a big that was a big thing. That was a big thing. I'd like that. And Gable, he kept working the ankle, kept going for the ankle, doing the ankle lock on Sammy as much as possible. If I had to split a hair and make a complaint, and I don't mean to make it a complaint like in a negative way, it's in a creative, it's in a constructive criticism kind of way. If you're going to do an ankle lock submission, scissor the damn leg. Put some weight on it. Heaven forbid, it's not going to hurt anything. Add a small sense of realism on there. That way, it just, I don't know. Ever since I was a kid, it just, that always bothered me. Why would the person doing the ankle lock want to stand and hold it and let their opponent have the opportunity to try and crawl and pull them while they're on their feet to make them have to shuffle and move their feet to the rope? Just, yeah. Beautiful match. I absolutely love the end with Gable and Sammy. That's the part that I mean by beautiful match. It came to an end when Gable, he went to go for ankle lock. Sammy countered it into a roll up. 1, 2, 3. That was it. So your winner and going to WrestleMania to challenge Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship, Sami Zayn. So that is it for this week's show, folks. If you're watching this on YouTube, thank you. Please remember to like the video, subscribe to the channel, go back and watch some of the other episodes. If you're listening to this in podcast form, thank you. Leave a 5-star review, share this with other people, follow us. That will help build this. We, folks, I want to make this better, not for me, but for you guys. And I can't do that without you guys helping build me up so I can help make it better for you. So with that said, thank you everyone that watches, likes, and shares this show. I do this for all you beautifully crazy bastards. Thank you to LFC Lingerie Fighting Championship. They're a contributor to the show. Check them out. They're a little bit of wrestling, a little bit of MMA, a whole lot of attractive women wearing a little bit of nothing. Thank you. Also, don't forget to check out these cool ass guys right on the Twitter, DSB_IB. Main Event_Net, the Main Event Wrestling Network Twitter channel, Sergeant Curry Pants, 3 Count Thursday, D Dryer 1986. Don't forget to check out whatamaneuver.net for some vicious rants apparel, t-shirts, tanks, hoodies, baby onesies, toddler tees, women's shirts as well. Folks, perfect shirts for somebody you love, somebody you hate, or a shirt to buy just to give to Goodwill. And with that said, folks, like I always tell you, and much like the shirt says, if you love me, great. And well, if you hate me, fuck you.